This is Paul Corsetti, Senior Site Editor of TechTarget's Search Data Backup and Search Disaster Recovery Sites. Joining me today to discuss some best practices for backup and recovery is Mike Sanders, General Manager of Unitrends. Thank you for being here.
No, thank you, Paul. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, now, frequently there's a major data breach making news today, whether it's accidental or intentional. How can organizations stay ahead of these breaches, specifically regarding their backup and recovery plans?
So, you know, from a backup and disaster recovery plan, the breaches that are done with intent to destroy are the ones that are really the ones that we would focus on, right? You know, from a backup perspective, we are the last line of defense against that type of attack. And if you look at data breaches, there's obviously a couple different aspects to it. You get, you know, a lot of insider threats where people either willingly or unwittingly release data into the world. But where we see a lot of focus on the DR side of the world is on the ransomware and on the malicious intent, where there's actually data destruction, right? There's, you know, still a lot of misconceptions, I think, around ransomware. You know, there's this idea that malware and ransomware and these different destructive styles of attack are executed by individuals. And, you know, that's really no longer the case. If we look at cybercrime today, it's the fastest growing and it's certainly the largest form of crime. It actually outpaces marijuana, cocaine, and heroin at about $3 trillion. So it's a massive, massive business today already. And as a result, the attacks are just getting more and more sophisticated. So the idea that one could do something on the front end to prevent it 100% of the time is a fallacy. And that's where backup and DR comes in, because, you know, there's just so many examples, even recently, of large companies getting taken down by it. But small companies as well. In fact, I think the threat's probably larger on the SMB side.
Yeah, that's one thing we hear sometimes is that the smaller companies will, if the ransom request isn't a huge amount, that the small companies will often pay for their data back just to get it over and done with. What do you think about that response versus having an actual backup and recovery plan to fall back onto?
Absolutely. Listen, if we look at the different types of attacks that have happened over the years, let's take a look at WannaCry, right, which was made everything a household name, made ransomware a household name. But they focused on enterprises. And, you know, they had the kill switch issue where somebody was able to find the kill switch relatively early, which is just a mistake on their part. They used they used one Bitcoin address, so nobody could really feel confident that when they paid, they'd be able to track it. So there were a couple other issues. But the real issue that made them so unsuccessful, because if you look at the amount of dollars that they made compared to other ransomware attacks that were similar, you know, they made like the guesses or the estimates like $120,000, as opposed to, you know, something like CryptoLocker that's done $3 million or potentially more. And the reason for that is when you go after enterprise with this, they have backups and they actually test their backups and they do, you know, the things that are necessary on an ongoing basis to feel confident that they're going to be able to recover in a timely fashion and that the data is there. If you're an SMB, you know, a very large percentage, I would say probably north of 75% of SMBs don't have a BCDR plan. And so when they get attacked, they really don't have a choice but to pay for that 75%. And the other 25%, they're probably not really confident in their plans. From what we've seen of the ones that do have it, about 50% of those do not feel confident or did not have the expected result when they went to use their recovery plan. And this all comes down to testing. You know, that's the crux of this. Backup's great. Putting the data, you know, on a disk, putting the data in the cloud, all of that stuff is fantastic. But if you're not testing the recovery and making sure that you can get access to that data again, then it's all useless, because when the clock is ticking and you have to make a decision, you're not going to risk it and you're going to pay. And that's what we're seeing with the SMBs. And the reality of it is, you know, when we surveyed our MSP customers, we found out that about 42% of the MSP's clients were paying the ransoms, and even at that rate, 25% of them didn't get their data back. So paying still isn't, you know, a sure thing, obviously.
Yeah. So in terms of testing specifically, what are some what are some best practices there for, say, SMBs and maybe even the enterprise?
It's a great question, and the best practices should be very similar. You know, when we look at testing, at least in our product line, we look at something that can do automated testing of the different kind of applications that you're backing up. You know, we have some systems out there in the world that'll do, you know, screenshot verification and things like that, and we can do that too. But the reality of it is, if I have a SQL server, let's say, and I have all of my critical data on that SQL server, and I boot that thing up and I'm showing a login screen, and I send a screenshot of that login screen, I know the server can boot to a login screen, but it doesn't tell me anything about the sanctity of the data behind there. And so being able to actually go in there and run SQL queries and test the results and make sure that the data that I care about, the stuff that's actually critical to my organization, is available, is, you know, that should be table stakes. You should be doing that, you know, for all of your backups. The issue with that, obviously, is cost. So you need a system that can automate that process. And by leveraging that automation, you can bring down the cost of doing this to something that you could do on a nightly basis if you wanted to. And that way, if you ever do get hit with something like a ransomware or some sort of destructive behavior where somebody gets in and they destroy your data, you got the faith that you've got a recent successful test that actually shows that you have the things that matter to you, the data that actually matters to you came back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. So we've talked about ransomware, we've mentioned data breaches. What do you think is the next wave of cyber threat, and what can organizations do regarding their backup and recovery there?
You know, that's a great question as well. I think right now we're seeing, and we saw an uptick recently on crypto mining, you know, where people were cryptojacking, it's called, taking over computers to do crypto mining for themselves. You know, I'm not a crypto expert, but I'm, you know, with the kind of the decline in the value of cryptos, I would imagine we're going to see a focus on other things. What we have started to see in the marketplace that is really scary is a focus on the backup solutions themselves. So cyber criminals, knowing that going in and destroying the data from individual machines for an enterprise, especially on the enterprise side, is not enough, they're looking to rotate their attack vectors to the backups as well. Because if they can get both, then they're back in the game. And something like WannaCry, which, you know, again, wasn't super successful because of its focus on enterprise and their ability to recover, would have been incredibly successful if they were able to bypass the defenses of the backup and corrupt those as well. And you know, I think that's the next iteration that we're going to see. And we've already seen some of that. You know, we obviously run on a very hard OS, we're on hard and CentOS version, and we are pretty well protected from that standpoint. But we certainly have heard stories of some of the Windows-based backup and DR solutions out there being exposed and actually being attacked. And certainly, you know, they're going to try with ours as well. I think they're going to try with all of them. So it's going to be really important that the companies that use these backup solutions ensure that whoever they're using has something that can stand up to that.
Unitrends and Spanning, they're both Kaseya companies now. For Unitrends, it's been about a year since the acquisition. How would you say things are shaking out at this point? Are they much different from before?
So I'm probably a little bit jaded on that because I came from the Kaseya side. So my perception of it is probably a little bit different than somebody who, you know, was on the Unitrend side prior to the acquisition. But from what I'm seeing, there's a lot of good things coming from this. You know, we're working through the different products with UCM, Unitrend's Compliance Manager, and Unitrend's Security Manager, which are rapid fire tools, also owned by Kaseya. And we're seeing a lot of kind of leverage between those different things to bring a lot of value to our client base. So when we look at Kaseya's vision of IT complete and the idea that the person who makes the decision on what RMM solution a company is going to use, or the person who makes the decision on a backup solution for, you know, an SMB typically are going to be the same person. So bringing them a bunch of different solutions that are integrated in a meaningful way and allowing them to really cover all the different things that they want to do while having the opportunity to work with one company, have, you know, one rep, have, you know, a solid point of contact there and everything else is really, really resonating with the clients from each one of the BUs that's been brought on. And certainly it's something that has been resonating with inside the Kaseya user base for a long time, right? And there's an opportunity, if you look at, kind of interesting, if you look at RMM and specifically in this case Kaseya, as an MSP or as an SMB, you could go out and buy 10 different tools, 12 different tools and try to cobble together something very similar. That's not what the users of Kaseya have decided is important to them. They've already made the decision that having something in a single pane of glass is what's critical for them, and that's why they've made the decision to purchase an RMM that has the kind of breadth that Kaseya has. So by bringing other products that tie in directly to that same multifunction user or multifunction admin is something that, again, has been really well received and is something that we're going to continue to drive to as a business.
And specifically something we spoke about last year, we wrote about the Done Deal program that provides that provides MSPs using Unitrends with a guaranteed new paying customer. Has that generated many sales at this point?
Yeah, it's generated a bunch of sales, and we've done a lot of transactions with that as well. You know, obviously we launched that towards the end of last year, so it's still a relatively new program for us, but we are super excited about it, and you know, we continue to iterate on it, and right now I think it's better than it's ever been. We have, you know, a bunch of done deals that have been fulfilled, but we have, you know, a continuously better process around it. So I would say that this quarter is when we're going to start to really hit an even quicker stride in that particular arena. And it, you know, just totally matches with the way that we do business as Unitrends, and so for us, it makes all the sense in the world. We would love to have MSPs working together with us on those done deal transactions because it means that we have a company that actively uses our product and is an expert in our product in that sale with us and working together with the SMB that's looking to potentially purchase. And so it's a different story when you're working with maybe, you know, a company that hasn't ever walked a mile in the shoes of using the product to actually deliver backup. But in these cases, we're able to work together with these MSPs who are maybe servicing 52 or 100 endpoints, 100 sites with the product already, and they've seen kind of a pretty broad spectrum of what's out there, and they can really bring a lot of expertise to the table.
Last general question. I'm wondering if you could sum up, what do you think data protection customers are in need of most at this time?
That's a good question. I think from what we're seeing in the marketplace, there's, you know, if I saw the number one issue, it's the inability to do the different types of backup that they want to do in one place. You know, we talk to so many companies that are using a bunch of different technologies to meet their backup needs. They're using one company for cloud to cloud. They're using another one for their roaming. They're using another one for their applications. They're using another one potentially for, you know, physical versus virtual, public cloud versus, you know, what they have in their server closet. And I think that there is a real opportunity, and I think we're probably the closest to realizing it, to bringing all of that together in a single solution and really allowing somebody to leverage that as a result.
All right. Well, good luck there, and thank you. We appreciate you taking the time today.
Of course. Thank you so much.